Just taking the US first, we're still getting some really good readings out of the US, and this is obviously sort of going, you've got the economy which is going well, but we've got first signs that we've got a fourth wave of COVID infections, not so much in the US, but very much in Europe as they move into the winter months. And that's causing a little bit of concern about the global economic outlook. But if we look at the data, there's no evidence that you've got any sort of weakness in the US. Leading indicators there, for example, we had two of the regional ones came out last week. We had the November Empire State Survey, and that one jumped all the way up to 30.9 from 19.8. And it was a similar story for the Philadelphia Fed survey later in the week as well. Very strong readings for the most recent month of November. The November National Association of Home Builders Index has gone into really high territory again. We were at 80 going back to October. That in itself was a surprise because going back to October, they thought it'd be around about 76. They thought it couldn't get any stronger than that. It'd be around about 80 for November. It's gone up to 83, just about record territory. So home builders in the US are very, very buoyant at the moment. Another leading indicator, just housing permits, month of October. They were expected to lift by 2.8% month on month. They lifted by 4% month on month. So everything on the leading edge is really starting to motor up again in the US. And the coincident indicators are looking good too. So we had October retail sales came out, and they beat market expectations by quite a margin. They were already pretty firm the month before, where both the headline retail sales and core retail sales were both up 0.7% month on month. They thought that headline retail sales would perhaps lift a bit above 1%, maybe up 1.1%. And core retail sales might be up about 0.8%. They were both up 1.7%. Very, very strong readings running through those particular indicators. And, of course, we're in November now, and right at the end of November, we'll get Black Friday sales, so people watching out for that. As we get, it'll actually later this week, as we move towards that and into the following week. And at this stage, they're looking very, very strong indeed. Just in terms of price pressures, still there in the US, the only price indicator we had was import prices, month of October. They were up 0.4% import prices going back to September. We thought it'd be a pretty high reading of 1%. It actually went up 1.2% month on month. So still got those price pressures running through. There is a proviso on those. We're going to get perhaps a little bit of a respite on very high petrol prices in particular. This largely comes down to the resumption of restrictions in parts of Europe, in Germany, looking into Eastern Europe, in Austria, and just the pullback in driving and also in airline travel in parts of Europe now, that will actually start to dent some of the pressure there that has been there just in energy prices of late. In the US this week, it's going to be a shortened week because you've got Thanksgiving on Friday. But some of the data which comes out before that, we've got October existing home sales coming out tonight. They were very strong going back to September, up 7% month on month. Maybe come back 1.4%, but not much. Put the 2 months together, you've still got a very strong result. On Tuesday, we've got the, not the ISM surveys, but the old-style purchasing manager reports coming out for manufacturing and services, both months of November, and both expected to be stronger than the month before. So the manufacturing PMI up from 58.4 to 59, and the services PMI up from 58.7 to 59.1, the market thinks. So again, strength running through the leading indicators. We have durable goods orders coming out on Wednesday. They look pretty firm with many businesses investing over there. Looking at about a 0.2% headline increase and 0.5% underlying rise in that. We'll get revised Q3 GDP. GDP in the US did have a setback going back to Q3. We look as if we got a rebound coming through into Q4. But back in Q3, the readings so far have all come out around 2% annualised for GDP. There might be a slight upward revision to that to 2.1%. And then later in the week in the US, just before the Thanksgiving holiday, we'll get October personal income, personal spending. And they both look pretty strong. Personal income up 0.2% and personal spending up around 1% for the month. So all told, you know, the data reports in the US are looking good, but you've got some volatility running through things because of this cloud that's hanging over COVID throwing a curveball through Europe. Not quite in the US. The daily cases in the US, new COVID, are running around about 34,000-35,000 a day. But in Germany, for example, you're over 40,000 a day of new cases. So there's a significant fourth wave of COVID infection starting to show in Europe, which not surprising given, you know, they're going into winter months where people go inside. And so it's when you have a lot of people congregating inside, that's the problem for COVID. The more you can keep people outside and in fresh air, the less chance there is of COVID spreading. And that's been the story everywhere of why we get these extra waves. It's those periods when you get a lot of people inside that causes the problems. Moving to China, we've still got the story of fixed asset investment spending being pulled back by government dictate, where they're still battening down on the property sector. And so we've got some pressure there, which is still showing in fixed asset investment spending in October being weaker than expected. It was up 6.1% year on year, but that was down from 7.3% the month before. Industrial production starting to normalise a little at a very low level after the problems they've had with energy in China, where, you know, they basically shot themselves in the foot trying to put a coal ban on us. And so, you know, that's led to power outages at various times and are still ongoing. But in October, there was a slight lift in industrial production to 3.5% year-on-year from 3.1% year-on-year. Yeah, you go back a year ago, these were regularly running 7 and 8% year-on-year, so we're running about half the strength that we saw going back about a year ago. Retail sales also lifting a little to 4.9% year-on-year from 4.4%. There's some concern about retail sales going forward in China, and that's because they're having to batten down too on certain cities that are having a new wave of COVID too. So yeah, that may play to this softness which is showing through China. We're starting to run into some of the big national conferences and congresses in China. This is all setting up President Xi for being emperor for life, just about. And I use that word emperor because that's the way he's looking. It's all to do with the politics in China at the moment. This week in China, nothing of real note except People's Bank of China's meeting. They've got the cash rate at 3.85%. I don't think there'll be any change on that. Moving to Australia, and last week we had the RBA minutes. We also had talk from RBA Governor Philip Lowe. We also had the Q3 wage price index came out. RBA Governor Phil Lowe is still battening down on this idea that, they've shifted their view a bit and that, you know, there is some upside risks with inflation moving into 2023, and that conceivably could lead to interest rates going up in 2023, but no way will he be moving in 2022. He thinks that they can afford to be patient with the way in which wages will be moving. It's a strange way they're looking at this, because they are in one breath admitting that wages are going to become an inflation problem in time, But they're going to wait until it becomes an inflation problem before they do anything about it. And by then, of course, it's too late and you have to do way more. So it's that disconnect, which is, I still think markets are going to test him with saying, no, you know, you're going to be forced to a point where you're going to have to lift interest rates before what you're saying. And the Q3 wage price index was interesting. Remember, this was a shutdown quarter. And the quarter-on-quarter wage price index was up just a touch more than expected. The market was looking for 0.5%. It went up 0.6%. The annual rate of change on wages has accelerated from 1.7% to 2.2%. We've got some pretty clear areas where wages are growing even faster, particularly any professional services. You know, and of course, the law comes into this, technical services and scientific services. The year-on-year is already up to 3.4%. In construction, it's running at 2.6% year-on-year. And the one which has had very low wage increases almost over the last 10 years, accommodation and food services, has really started to move up. Typically, the wage annual wage increases in that area has been under 1%. It's now up at 2.5% and rising. So, you know, they've got some pressure points which are starting to rise, and you'd expect to see those over the course of the next quarter or two. And so that's where, you know, the pressure points. Also, the private sector is running faster now. So you've got 0.6% quarter on quarter, 2.6% year on year running through the private sector. And so just those pressure points, you know, I think over the next couple of wage price index readings over the next 6 months, this will be what changes the RBA's mind. And so that's where the pressure points lie. This week in Australia, we do mostly going backwards. We look back at Q3. We get a lot of Q3 data over the next 10 days, and it will culminate in the Q3 GDP report, which will come out on the 1st of December. This is rearward-looking stuff, and it reflects all that period of shutdown running through Victoria, New South Wales, and ACT. And so it's going to be deeply negative, many of the numbers that run through here. There will be an exception to that. But for most part, it's going to be deeply negative, and that's what we'll see with the numbers that come out this week. We get Q3 construction work done coming out on Wednesday. That was up 0.4% quarter on quarter going back to Q2. It was starting to rise. It'll be down at least 3%. You know, we had some construction sites which were shut for periods in New South Wales and Victoria through that period. So yeah, we will get a pretty deep pullback running through that. Then on Thursday, we'll get third quarter private capital expenditure data. And for similar reasons, you know, some of this is business investment spending on buildings, and obviously it's going to be down. Some businesses have shut, would have delayed their spending that they planned on plant machinery. So that was up really strongly in Q2, up by 4.4%. It'll be down by at least 2% in the number that comes out on Thursday. But inside there will also be the business view of what they're going to be spending in the current financial year, going all the way through to June next year. And going back to the last quarter, their estimate for capital spending was up about 15% on where it was a year earlier, and still expect that to show in the numbers. So it's going to be a tale of past and future in this, in the number that comes out on Thursday. The past, ugly, because it was Q3. The future, still very, very bright. And so we'll see, we were at $127.7 billion estimated private capex for 2021-22, going back 3 months ago. That'll get up to around about $130-135. It'll be up at least 15% on the same estimate period going back last year. Then on Friday, we start to get numbers which are coming out of the lockdown period. We get October retail trade. Even in September, the monthly was okay for retail trade. It was up by 1.7%. And it's that sort of coiled spring type thing. You know, once you start to let people loose again, They do spend very freely, particularly when they've got a lot of savings built up during that period when they couldn't spend. So expect to see that reflected in the October retail trade number, probably going to be up around about 2.5% month on month, so a very, very strong number coming out on Friday. Just moving to Europe, and the numbers are okay. You know, so we haven't had much of it over the last week. We had the September trade balance number, very strong rise there from 3.5 billion euro trade surplus to 7.3 billion, so doubled in the month. So a lot of strength running through the international trade part. We also had the revised Q3 GDP. There was no revision. This was a period when Europe was doing actually well. You know, there was still coming out of the late summer into the early autumn. They'd all been freed up and they were spending like fury, happy as Larry. And you saw it in the GDP read, which was up 2.2% quarter on quarter, 3.7% year on year. Obviously, this may look a bit different in Q4. You know, we may have a pullback there because of what's happening now with the lockdowns, which are starting to occur there in Europe again. This week in Europe, you will get November consumer confidence. This will have been affected by the COVID numbers starting to worsen. It's probably going to go from minus 4.8 to minus 5.5. We get the November manufacturing PMI and services PMI. They're going to be back a little, we think. They have been rising very strongly in Europe, and we were up at 58.3 for the October manufacturing PMI, probably come back to about 57.2, and the services sector PMI, which was also pretty elevated at 54.6, probably back to about 53.6. So it's going to be a bit of a volatile week. The other thing I should mention too is we're going to see this distinction between central banks who are looking to lift rates and those who are still a little bit cautious come back into the open and out part of the world, because you've got the RBNZ meeting coming up during the course of the week. They've already lifted the cash rate once. They will lift the cash rate again. They're already at 0.75%. And there's some talk they may do an outsized interest rate hike because their economy has been very buoyant and is putting a lot of pressure into inflation. Their inflation read in Q3 obviously was a lot higher than Australia's too. So you're just starting to see some of these pressure points, the breaking of ranks between central banks and all these sorts of things as well, with what's occurring too. Just watching this week pretty carefully. It's going to be pretty volatile. It's a strange one for the US when you've got Thanksgiving coming up on Friday too. A few moving parts running through this. For us, we're looking backwards for the next 10 days to a period that was gloomy but won't reflect where we go next.